Turn your Bibles with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians to chapter 1. We are taking a break in our study through 1 John. And in light of the all-church meeting, which is taking place today after the service, I thought it would be appropriate to use this time in order to shorten the rest of the time to be able to give you an idea of the heart of our church and where we're at. This week, I believe, has been 2.5 years since Reverence Bible Church started. And what a 2.5 years it's been. You look, in you know, 2.5 years ago, we were setting up and not having any idea as far as how many people were going to be there, who was going to be there. I was so nervous and continue to get nervous on a regular basis as I come up and teach. But thinking, what is the first sermon going to be on and how is it going to go? And I know I preached on the Lord God omnipotent reigns and what that means. And it's a good thing to be 2.5 years into Reverence Bible Church and know that our same God, the Lord God omnipotent, he reigns. He is all powerful and he reigns. And so we're here this morning after 2.5 years and we look and see so many different people who are here. God's brought them in so many different ways. I know that the Logans are here because Garrett's mom Rose was putting tracks into the little sugar things at Starbucks, and Angela happened to be a manager at Starbucks, and she caught her red-handed doing it. And it was at that point that they started talking, and they live up in Orange, and the Starbucks was up in that area, and it was neat to be able to see, like, They asked, well, what's your church like? That's what Rose asked Angela. And she said, well, it's a great church. We study the Bible and just we have a high view of God. We definitely believe in the sovereignty of God. And Rose said that it was that word that just had such an impact on her. She said, I haven't heard that word for years. And so they came to visit. And as a result, her son and his family are here. Kelly and Mark Schwartz are here. And I asked them, how did you hear about the church? This was a fun one. They were in a sandwich place, and someone had littered one of our youth group handouts onto the floor of the sandwich shop. And Kelly picked up the litter that was there and read it and thought, we're going to go visit that place. And as a result of your littering, the gospel has gone forward, and we're blessed with a family. But typically people come and they maybe I've seen the sign Reverence Bible Church, and they think, what does that mean? Reverence Bible Church. Reverence. We don't hear that word all that often, and it's approaching God with reverence and awe, being amazed at the Lord our God, and so we approach him as such. Bible Church, and that we're a Bible-teaching church. And so maybe somebody's looked at the sign and thought, well, I'll visit. Maybe you've been invited by a friend. I was talking with somebody just last week, and she said that, and looking at the sign and thinking about coming to visit the church, she thought, what kind of church meets in a school? And I said, a poor one. A poor one does. But as you'll see, as we go through the budget, the church is doing great financially, and the Lord's blessed us along. But you're looking for a church, and you look, and you think, what's a good church? What's a healthy church? And some people come and they would maybe pull up and be hesitant to come to a church that meets at a school. They think, oh, it's a new church, it's just starting, and it's going to be set up and take down, and then there's going to be just, you know, not the stability that would be there. And I like when the pastor preaches to be able, if he's boring me, to be able to look through the windows and see the ocean. Or, and there's some churches like that that I've done weddings at. This isn't one. It's nice, though. And you look and you think, I like stained glass. I like, and so do I. I like stained glass. It looks great. I like steeples. I like it, you know, it's just a typical country church, you know, and not meeting in a high school. I like it. It's nice. Pews are nice, aren't they? Hymnals in the front, pews that are there. Some people come and say, not the most comfortable chairs in the world, and it was too cold or it was too hot. And so they look and they think, I want it to be comfortable. Were the people nice when they came in and greeted me? Or when I came in, did they greet me well? Anybody talk to me after the service? What was the sermon like? The pastor's he's too young, and I recognize that. I'm 35 years old, but Bill Acton's like 87. He balances me out quite a bit. Oh, Pastor Bill? And you look, and these are things that people consider when they come to a church. Was the Bible being taught? Was the pastor interesting? Was it entertaining? What was the worship like? I like it with the big band, electric guitars, all that kind of stuff. Or no, I just like hymns. I don't like music. I just want hymns. And everybody has different things that they think about. And you look and you say, well, but what's a healthy church? A healthy church. We look at the book of 1 Thessalonians. And Paul's writing to this church. It's a church that's a young church. It just began in Paul's second missionary journey. And it's a church that's gone through some difficult things. The church in which it definitely appears that they are saying that Paul was just in it for the money, or the other people were just doing it for the money. And Paul's writing to this church, and he's writing to encourage him. He's writing to encourage him, but he's also has heard reports from Timothy as far as what the church is like, what's going on. And so he writes this letter, and a letter that's encouraging to them, but also a letter that says you're on the right track. My prayer is that we would be a healthy church. Prayer is that we would be a church that is perfectly going in the direction that God has called us to go for His glory and for the edification of the saints, building up us. We look here in verse 2 of chapter 1, he says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. He's talking with this church, and he says, we thank God always for you. Looking at church, he said, we praise Him. We praise Him for the church. We pray for you on a regular basis, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. I look at our church and the people who are here, and I think if God were to look upon Reverence Bible Church, that God would see a group of people who have faith in Christ alone. The health of our church begins with the fact that we're a church that teaches doctrine. We believe, and you have seen it in Scripture over and over again, that our salvation is the result of Christ alone, by faith alone. It's not by works. It's not by any good thing that we could ever do. It's solely by faith in the greatness of our God and our Redeemer. We just sang a song, I boast no more. The theology of our salvation by faith alone was wrapped up even in those words as I could just hear our congregation praising Him, saying, no more, my God, I boast no more of all the duties I have done. I quit the hopes I held before to trust in the merits of Thy Son. We're not trusting in anything that we've ever done. You don't look and say, okay, well, have I read my Bible enough? Have I prayed enough? Have I gone to church enough? Have I done enough to earn favor with a holy God? You know that your righteousness before God is as filthy rags, and that you're dependent solely, completely, upon faith alone in Christ alone. You know that to be the case. The song ends by saying, the best obedience of my hands dares not appear before Thy throne. But faith can answer thy demands by pleading what my Lord has done. And we just sang that. Looking and saying, he died on the cross for me. My sins were all placed upon him. His righteousness placed upon my account. God did it. He finished. He did it all. And so we look at this and we say, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, the health of our church. It's a church that serves God with love, serves one another because of our love for God. Do you find that to be the case? It's a joy for me to watch what God has done in the members of our church. I go and I listen to the youth ministry. Jeff Paisano and Derek Hull teaching the youth. And incredible sermons that go forward. Such clarity. Doctrine that is taught that, man, you don't hear it in hardly any churches today as far as the depth of the knowledge that our high school students and junior high students are getting. Incredible. They study so hard to prepare themselves for the sermons that they preach, but they're not on staff. They work full-time jobs, go home, stay up late at night, study for hours and hours and hours every week. People serving in the youth ministry, the high school and junior high ministry, there's a ton of you guys. And I watch, and it's every week coming, ministering to the kids, having kids that you're discipling, the time that you spend with them, taking them out to lunch, praying for them, being involved with their lives, sound doctrine that's going forward, sound counsel that's going forward. Youth ministry strong. College ministry strong. Jeff and Lawler and Jeremy D'Amato teaching that, both working full-time jobs, and yet they study so hard to bring the college ministry just sound biblical preaching every Sunday evening. People coming and setting up church. I was watching just what was taking place with the setup and people vacuuming and moving desks and doing all that's involved with renting out a high school facility and the setup of the stage, the takedown of the stage, the sound system, all that occurs. Pastor Matt, who works a full-time job and yet prepares the worship, and he's not saying, oh man, I hate doing that. I have to do it every week, never get a break. He's not doing that. He's so excited to bring us songs that are so Christ-centered, God-honoring. Teach us such great theology just even as we sing the songs. So prayerful about the songs that we do. Such a way that God would be most honored here in this place. It's a labor of love. They love it. They love you. You love one another. You love Christ. You set up donuts every week. The book table every week. The t-shirts, the CDs. All that occurs, it's not out of duty or drudgery, but it's out of delight. And a love for Christ. It's where we ought to be. Look, in our theology brings us to a place where you cannot help but love him. When you see the depths of your sin, the depravity of man, the fact that there's no good that we could do whatsoever in and of ourselves, but God has done it all, and he is holy, and he is majestic, and he is sovereign, and he has called you. When you were dead in your sins, he made you alive in Christ, and all the glory and all the honor goes to him. You'll spend eternity with him, not based on your own merits, but based on his merits and based on what he has done, and it makes you love him. The high view of God, big thoughts of God, you praise him, you love him, and the result is loving one another and delighting in serving him. I think that God would look upon Reverence Bible Church and say, faith that is genuine. There's a labor of love that is occurring. And patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. An endurance of hope. A patience of hope, endurance of hope. And it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. You look at the sign out there on the street. only advertisement that we've ever done as far as Reverence Bible Church is the signs that get hung up every Sunday morning and taken down every Sunday evening. But there on the sign, you'll see it says, Reverence Bible Church, Christ-centered and Bible-driven. Christ-centered and Bible-driven. The endurance of our hope, the patience of our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. A church that is centered upon Him. We exist for Him and for His glory and for His honor. He is to be central in all that we do. Children's ministry, Christ is the center. We go through the Old Testament, it is pointing us to Christ, our Redeemer, the center of all of our hope. His glory and His honor, the center of why we work, why we're faithful husbands, faithful wives, why we minister to our kids, why we serve God in everything we do, it is because Christ is the center. We are Christ-centered, God-centered people, a Christ-centered church. And that's what Paul says about the Thessalonians. Oh, there's this endurance of hope, and it is in Christ, and it is in Christ alone. The next song that we'll sing in our time of worship is In Christ Alone. I didn't plan this with Pastor Matt, it's just looking at it. The last song that we sang was about faith alone. The next song that we'll sing is about Christ alone, and it finishes by saying, no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. He commands our destiny. He is sovereign, He is in control, and He is the one that we center everything upon. The health of our church isn't in a building. It's not in our financial stability. It's not in how many programs we have. It's not in whether you can go do jazzercise to Christian music in one of our buildings tomorrow. It's not in whether we have the biggest singles group that gets it to where you have a better chance of finding a mate. It is in, not that any of those things are bad, but it is, well, jazzercise thing might be bad, but... It's in Christ alone. Our focus in having Him be the center of all that we do. Our worship is directed towards Him. I've sang songs before at churches, and I think I've even approached. I'm not always quiet. I approach the pastor sometimes and say, why do we sing that? I can't mean that from my heart towards God. For me to mean that from my heart, I must turn to my neighbor and sing directly to their face because it is totally centered upon my neighbor. It's not centered upon Christ at all. And the songs that we sing are to be centered upon Him, and they are. The way the worship team functions. We have incredible musicians that are here. Jeff Paisano plays just about every instrument that you can imagine. His main instruments, the sax, he plays the piano, he plays the flute, he plays... He could pick up... I've taken instruments home from Africa that have, like, they're made from some kind of cowhide, and they have, like, you know, little tiny wires that were taken out of an engine, and he makes the thing sound good. He could play just about anything. Pastor Matt is a great musician as well. Angela sings well. We have incredible musicians here within our church. But the focus is never to be on, man, that guy, he rips on the guitar. Did you hear that? How great was that? I mean, God, I love it. We have people that can sing incredibly here. And yet, our goal is not that you leave saying, man, those guys can sing. Can they ever sing? But that we would participate together in corporate worship and that we would worship together, Christ being the center. I would much rather have you leave the doors of this church saying, God is awesome and He is all powerful and He is so good and I love Him, than saying, good band, great preacher, he's funny. I'd much rather have you leave and say, my hope is in Christ alone. It's in him alone. Christ is the center of our church. He says, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. Your healthy church, because he looks and he sees and he says, there's just no doubt that you are the elect of God. No doubt. And I look and I see your love for Christ. Your hope in Christ alone. By faith alone. For the glory of God alone. The fruit that comes from your life, and it's so evident to say that it's a genuine faith. And praise God, he has called us. He has elected us from even the foundations of the world. All the glory, all the honor belongs to him. It's not a weekly thing as far as coming up and the same person receiving Christ over and over again, depending on how bad their week went previously. How many sins they committed, oh, you better get saved all over again. No, it's so clear. Our salvation is secure. It's in Christ alone. The elect of God, God has done it. Verse 5, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. The gospel went forward, and it wasn't just words only. It was God working. The evangelism that takes place here at Reverence Bible Church is the gospel going forward every week as far as salvation in Christ alone, by faith alone. The work of the cross, the center of the cross in Christ in our salvation. The gospel goes forward on a regular basis, and it's the Holy Spirit that does the work. Showing people, maybe you sat here in this church and saw for the first time you are a sinner in desperate need of grace, and you believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and it wasn't my words, but it was the Holy Spirit changing your heart, drawing you unto himself. God did it. And that's how the gospel is to go forward. There are churches that say, we'll entertain on Sunday morning, and maybe you can get into another study throughout the week. I don't want to do that. This meeting here is not for unbelievers. It's for believers. It's for the edification of the body. It doesn't mean that unbelievers don't come through the door and hear the gospel and look at the way that you worship and the way that you sing and the joy that's in your faces and the way that you are as far as your love for God's word, your love for him, and see that it's genuine and see that it's real and say, they have something that I don't have. They have a peace that I don't have. And God works in their hearts and brings them to salvation. But the purpose of Sunday mornings here is the building up of the saints. The edification of the body, that you would be built up. Because as you are healthy, healthy sheep, they produce healthy sheep. You go forward to the uttermost parts of the world, and you preach the gospel because you love him. You know the gospel with such clarity. Your hope is found in him, and you evangelize because there's nothing greater than boasting about the greatness of your God and your salvation. It's the purpose of our church. Not so that people would come in here and feel comfortable. What a sad thing it would be if people came here week after week, dead in their sins, no love for God, no salvation, and felt comfortable week after week after week, to the point where they go and spend eternity in hell apart from him. I don't want someone that's an unbeliever to sit here and feel comfortable in their sins. There needs to be conviction. Holy Spirit doing a work in the heart, bringing them to the point where he saves them. Or they say, no, I want nothing to do with this. But the purpose is to build up the saints. I believe that's part of being a healthy church. Verse 6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. You became followers of the Lord. The Lordship of Christ, there's no doubt that he is Lord, that he is sinner, and that we follow him. This is not an easy believism as far as just you say a prayer, you're fine. No, genuine salvation is a work that begins with God. And it ends with him. Salvation which changes us. We become new creations in Christ. And he is the Lord of our life. We desire to follow him. We desire to honor him because he has changed our affections. He's changed our natures. He has regenerated us to the point where we long for him, long to obey him and honor him. You receive the word in much affliction, but with joy of the Holy Spirit. I know there's families here that have been going through some very difficult things. Since this church began, there's been some really hard things that a lot of you have gone through. And yet you receive the word. Having a big view of God, understanding his character, there's joy that's there. So that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the true or the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Pray that that would be how we are. A light that's in our community, both here and even to the uttermost parts of the world, that there is no doubt as far as the fact that we are saved. There's been a change that has occurred because God has done it. A love for him that is such that it's not difficult to witness. You love to tell people about the greatness of your God and to boast about him. Evangelism occurring. If you'd move down with me, we'll skip a section and go down to verse 11 of chapter 2. He says here, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom, into his own kingdom and glory. That was the charge that went forward to these people. That's the charge that goes forward to you. Walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. You are sons and daughters of God, adopted into his kingdom. All of his righteousness has been placed upon your account. You've been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Change that has occurred. No more wrath, rather eternity in heaven. God's done it. He's the author. He's the finisher of your faith. It is a calling that took place from before the foundations of the world, and it is a sweet, sweet calling. And all the glory goes to God. Now walk worthy of it. Not because you're trying to earn favor with God, but because of what he has done, of who it is that has called you. You look upon that and you say, why would I desire any of these things in which Christ died for? And you love him. The health of our church is based on you looking at the things of this world and saying, I grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I don't desire it. I desire to follow him, to please him, to walk worthy of the calling with which I've been called. Verse 13 says, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. I thank God for our church. You receive the word of God. Receive the word of God. When we study this, it is not the words of men. It's not that you're hearing just thoughts from Pastor Kevin Utsuji today. You look and the authority is found in Scripture. We do handouts where it's just Scripture. It's filled with Scripture. You can go on the internet, look at the sermons. There's handouts that are just filled with Scripture. If there's not a handout, the sermon is filled with Scripture. We study Scripture. We go through verse by verse. Wednesday nights, verse by verse. Thursday nights, verse by verse. Youth ministry, verse by verse. Going through Scripture. Scripture is our authority. It doesn't matter what some theologian said. It doesn't matter what it is that the pastor says. It is, what does God say in His Word? What is the proof text? How do we know? Because Scripture is our authority. And you receive it as it is in truth, the Word of God. And you know that the Holy Spirit is using this to effectively work in you who believe. We don't have a steeple. Steeples are cool. I like them. Stained glass is awesome. Like, you do a wedding, the pictures turn out great. But we have God's Word, and it makes for a healthy church. It's our authority. It's what we believe. It's what we preach. It's the Word of God. Expository preaching, using it as our authority, even in topical studies, it is always centered on God's Word. Whole view of the Reformation, five souls. I know that we as a church know Scripture alone, faith alone, Christ alone. We could go through and look to the glory of God alone. So clear in Scripture that this is our authority, Scripture alone. Scripture. That's what teaches us. And you receive it with joy. I love sitting in different youth studies, college studies, being able to be there on retreats, and listening to our high school ministry or college ministry, listen to a 45, if Jeff Lawler's teaching, like, hour and 10-minute study. Listening to it and seeing the students with pens and taking notes and going through and learning it, becoming incredible theologians as they go through. It's funny. It's not funny. It's sad. But I hear people say a high school student, they can handle 15 minutes of study. For however many years the kid is old, they can handle 1 minute of study. That's what popular youth ministry teaches. 15 years old, 15 minutes. 17-year-old, 17 minutes. No more than that. They can't handle any more than that. We've proved them wrong over and over again. Over and over again. You love to study God's Word. It is the center of all that we believe, all that we do. And so, we delight in it. Look at chapter 3, verse 3. He's talking about some of the difficulties that these people went through, this young church. And it says that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. I know that there's families, once again, that have gone through very difficult things. But it hasn't shaken you to the point where your faith is gone. It hasn't brought you to the point where you're cursing God. You look and you say, God's in control. It couldn't have happened if God did not decree for it to happen. And there's this confidence that all things work together for good to those who know God and are the called according to His purpose. And so there's confidence that is there. He's looking, he's saying, I know that you've gone through afflictions, but you're not shaken by these afflictions because you yourselves know that you were appointed to this. And it makes for a healthy church. Having a high view of the sovereignty of God makes for a healthy church. Not looking and thinking, oh, how did that happen? Where was God? He probably tried his hardest to stop it, but he couldn't. That doesn't make for a healthy church. That makes for a church that has a very small God, a pitiful God. Can't stop things. Can't change things. No, we see a God that's in control, and he will carry us through the most difficult times. He's appointed us to things, and he enables us to endure through them with joy, even in the midst of suffering, because we see him as sovereign and good and working all things according to good. That makes for a strong, doctrinally, biblically thinking church that is healthy. It's important. In verse 12 of chapter 3, it says, "And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that we may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints." May you increase and abound in love to one another and to all. May that be us. We have a disadvantage here compared to maybe some churches and some cities across this nation. One is that we live in a society in which you don't have to know your neighbors. You just don't have to know them. I don't know mine. I know a couple, but I don't have to know them. There's very few kids in our neighborhood, and I'm kind of glad about it because then it means I get to pick my son's kids or his friends, people that he hangs out with. I'm glad that he doesn't have to hang out with the bad kid next door, and I have to say, oh, no, my kid can't be with your kid because you have a bad kid. I'm glad in some respects, but we are at a disadvantage because you don't go to the store and see everybody on a regular basis. There's churches that have thousands and thousands of people, and people can go and they can sit down, get up when it's over, walk out, never say anything to anybody. No one even knows they exist. They don't know anything about you. And some people like that. They go to a church like this and say, oh, that's a small church. What if someone talks to me? Oh, I do. And yet I pray that we wouldn't have an Orange County mentality that brings us to a point of go in, sit down, get up, leave, not get to know anybody in church, but that we'd be a family, that we'd grow, abound in our love for one another. The prayer chain, and it's a joy when the prayer requests go out and then having people call me saying, I haven't got a report lately as far as what happened. I've been praying for this person. What's going on with them? And I think, you don't even know the person, I don't think, but they're praying for them. Suppers of eight taking place where you get together and you spend time with each other. Eight people, when we do it, we usually invite more people than eight, but eight people and we break the rules. But I look and think, who would be good to come and join in with this particular group of people that are there? And getting to know each other, breaking bread with each other, spending time with each other. The Wallers had come to us and asked us about that when the church first began, and what a joy it's been. But to get to know each other and love each other and minister to each other, growing more and more in our love for one another. The love for the kids that are just across the hall. Teaching them, studying to prepare to teach them. You wouldn't believe what these kids are studying over there. Going through incredible doctrines. With the older kids, they ask, can we go through and study just some of the main doctrines that are there? Going through even using the Westminster Confession as an outline to it, but using the Scripture as the authority and going through and teaching them this so they know it. How awesome would it be to go to your son or daughter and say, what is your meaning in life? What's your purpose in existence? And have your son or daughter, little one, just say, well, I believe that the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That would be sweet. These are the kind of things that the kids are learning, though, but why it is that Christ is Lord and why he is God and why he is our Redeemer, how salvation comes. This is the things that they're studying just as we've gone through doctrines here on Sunday morning. They're going through doctrines there, studying Scripture, going through a Scripture a month to where at the end of the year they have 12 Scriptures that they've memorized at least. High school ministry has gone through. I get these emails going back and forth as far as this reading program that they have as far as going through the Scriptures in a year. And everybody on the same track so that they can hold each other accountable and ask questions and go through and read together and have Scripture be that which they learn. The labor of love is going and teaching them and ministering to them. We have 24 people that are involved with the children's ministry over there. We needed to get to the point where there's 44, because that would make it so everybody goes and teaches once a month and then they can come and hear the rest of the month. I know Angela and Rebecca are there probably 3 or 4 weeks out of the month and never get to sit in on the service. How great it would be if our labor of love brought us over there to where we're all involved in each other's lives and ministering to one another, even if it's not a teacher but a helper, just whatever we could do so that as a body we're united and we're working together. But growing in that, going outside of your comfort zone, staying afterwards, meeting people, involved with their lives, abounding in our love for one another. That's what God's called us to. And it's taking place. I see it on a regular basis. But even more so, may we abound in our love for one another. Let's close with how he closes in verse 16 of chapter 5. It's almost a song of praise towards the end, but he says here, rejoice always. This is to the church, this young church. And this would be to our church as well. Rejoice always. You have a lot to rejoice about. Smiles on your faces, joy in your heart. Leave this place not covered in guilt, but freed from the work of Christ on the cross, and rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. May he be the center of all that we do, and we pray he's involved with every aspect of our lives. Be a healthy church. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. In the good times and the bad times, whatever it is, give thanks. Be those that return and give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. People read through sections like this and say, okay, rejoice always. All right, I'm going to try to rejoice as much as I can. Pray without ceasing. Okay, all right, I'll try. Oh, it's kind of hard to pray without ceasing, but I'm going to try to pray without ceasing. Give thanks. Okay, I forgot to give thanks that time. I got to remember, I got to always give thanks. I got to do little memo notes for myself to give thanks. Don't quench the spirit. Don't despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. And you're thinking, well, abstain from every form of evil. I sin all the time. Then it says, now may the God of peace sanctify you completely. May God change you. Oh, yeah, absolutely. We make every effort towards godliness and holiness, depending upon him for it, filling ourselves with God's word, having the meditations of our heart be acceptable to him, loving it, worshiping, having saints gather together, hold us accountable, minister to one another with the gifts that they have. But ultimately, it is God that sanctifies you, that sets you apart, that changes you, and he does it completely. Your whole spirit, soul, and body, it will be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he who called you from even the foundations of the world, he who regenerated you and changed you, he is faithful. And he will do it. What a God we serve. Having great thoughts about God, thinking upon his greatness, a clear understanding of the gospel, and how it is that we get saved, His Word being our authority, worship coming from our hearts with spirit and in truth and with all that is within us, loving one another, growing in our understanding of God's Word, all of these things, they make for a healthy church. I would be okay to be this group of people for the next 50 years, loving each other, ministering to each other, falling more deeply in love with Him, watching our kids grow up, going on mission trips together, staying in this building, serving one another, and be totally satisfied. And yet at the same time, I know that God is going to bring people to salvation. We're going to invite other friends to come and just taste of the greatness of our God, eat at the banquet table of the glories of God on a regular basis because we love Him. But this isn't a church that focuses on church growth as far as numbers. In fact, I think we do almost everything to go in opposition to what they tell us that we ought to do. And that's okay. We want to be a healthy church, built up, encouraged, a worshiping church, the kind of church where Paul would write a letter to us saying, "We give thanks to God always for you all. We see what God's done. We see your theology. We see your heart. Christ is the center. And He is adored in your church." May that be us, a joyful, dependent, worshipful church. Will you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you so much for bringing us together here as a body, a family. We thank you for your wisdom that we find not in polls and not in surveys, but in your word as far as what it is that a church is supposed to be. A church that builds one another up, the edification of the body, but is to the glory of Christ. May that mark us here at Reverence Bible Church. May we be a beacon that's here in Saddleback Valley as far as those that hold to truth, biblical truth, centered upon Christ, not following every fad, not trying to be unlike traditional church, but simply to be a biblical church that honors you, depends on you, that rejoices in you, that has an incredibly high view of you, and that delights in preaching the gospel here into the uttermost parts of the world. And may that be Reverence Bible Church. That is what you have made. That is what you have placed upon our hearts. That is what's so clear in Scripture. And we give all the glory and all the honor unto you. May you be glorified through the praises of your people this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.